Today, it's been obvious, we celebrate Youth Day. We celebrate young people and what young people can do and who they are in God. And I mean, it's amazing the things young people can do when they're focused on a goal and are not distracted by anything that can detract from that goal. I mean, obviously the proof has been seen. As you just heard, the young adults went on a winter drive yesterday, and we were able to give 30 families, over 30 families, just by the way, over 30 families, food parcels, blankets, and other stuff to sustain them during the month, or the season of winter, rather. So that's an example of what young people can do when they're focused, right? And my question is to everybody under the age of 50. Pastor Allen said 50 upwards last week, right? So under 50. And some of you are nodding, no, I know you dyed your hair. You're over 50. So my question is to everyone, but mainly people under 50. You're still young, believe it or not. And my question to you is, are you focused? Are you focused? Now, some of you might say yes. Some of you are saying yes now. Some of you might say no. But the only way to know if you are focused is if you can answer this particular question. And that is, if all the elderly were to die right now, would we as young people be able to run and grow the church that would be left to us right now, today? Would you be able to? You say yes, you want to do it. You're not dying. Well, regardless of the fact, if you said no, don't worry, there's still hope after you listen to what I have to say today. See, today we're going to be talking about the role of young people in the church. That's what we're going to be discussing today. But before we get into roles, I want everybody to understand that there are two things that have to be present before a role is given. Firstly, there has to be potential. There has to be potential. And after there's potential, there's an expectation. And after this expectation, a role is given because of the potential you have. And so before we analyze what our role is as young people in the church, we're going to first analyze what God expects from us, young people, to fully understand what our role is in God's family called the church. And the first thing I want to say is that God expects us to know our identity. You know, a person who does not know what a diamond is and what it looks like will give away the stone for free. And so many young people give their lives away for free to the world and to the enemy because they don't know their true value. And in fact, might I say that, did you know Satan, the enemy, knows our value more than us sometimes? And I'll explain. In Daniel 1, verse 1 to 4, this is what it says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with a part of the vessels of the house of God. House of God. Yeah, just checking where I am. Okay, and he carried them into the land of Shinar, Babylonia, to the house of his god, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his god, the Babylonian god, by the way. And the Babylonian king told Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring in some of the children of Israel, both of royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish, well-favored in appearance, meaning handsome, And I think he was talking about me when he was writing this. Just the wrong time, eh? Favored in appearance, skillful in all wisdom, discernment, and understanding, apt in learning knowledge, competent to stand and serve in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Now, the reason I bring the scripture forth to you is to underline something very important. You see, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, took the young people of Israel away. The young people, not the old, the young people, for two particular reasons. One, firstly, to fully succeed in colonizing and destroying Israel's culture and religious beliefs for future generations. That was the first aim. The second, to make sure that the Babylonian practices and religious beliefs would be carried on by those future generations. In the same way, did you know that the devil targets the youth? Because he knows that if he can groom us from a young age, then he can slowly destroy the Christian beliefs and practices that were instilled in us when we were young, as children. That is the tactic. And most importantly, the devil knows that if he gets the young, he can lead the world. So he targets the youth. You see, the enemy knows of our value so much that he tells us we are worthless. He tells us that it's okay to not be part of a church. You don't need it. He tells us that we can do anything without any consequences. In fact, he tells us that consequences is just fake propaganda that Christians come up with. That you can do anything without the awareness of a holy God. And in fact, the devil has used a few slogans to kind of promote this type of thinking. Three in particular: YOLO. You only live once, so do what you want, eh? It won't work in an African home, just telling you. They're saying, yeah, they know. How about FOMO? Fear of missing out on the trends. So join in. Whatever it is, just do it. Because of the fear of missing out. And most recently, being woke. Well, all I want to say is that woke is the past tense. You woke up. I'm telling you to be awake to the fact that God says you're his child. Okay? No time to be woke. Be awake. So that's what the devil says. But what does God say about who we are as young people and our identity? Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, this is what it reads. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before I came to be, right? Before they came to be. Now my question is, how can you be worthless if God knit you together? How can you say you have no future when your days, the days of your life, were written in his book before you were even created? How can you say you do not know your identity when God calls you my child? That is your identity. Often we get it mixed up. We think what we do is our identity. It's not. You are a child of God. That's who God says you are. So again, firstly, God expects young people to know that they are children of God, meaning that we belong in the church family. Because the church is God's family. And if you're his child, this is where you belong. That's what God expects us to know. That means participating in the church, not just attending it. Let's look at the second expectation God has for us as young people. God expects you and I to know our purpose. See, there's a belief among young people today that you can only truly know what you're called to be or your potential or be used by God when you're older. But that's a lie. In fact, I want to say that God sees potential according to potential, not age. God sees potential according to potential, not age. And if you want proof of this, read 1 Samuel verses 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. And I'm just going to give you a brief description of what happened there. In 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13, we read about how Samuel was instructed by God to go anoint a king. And when he went about, what did he look at? Age and looks. That's what he looked at. But because God saw potential for potential, not age, he told Samuel, no, go anoint King David, who was a teenager, by the way, at the time that he got anointed as king. See, God sees potential according to potential and not age. And in fact, God used David to fulfill his purposes when he, for example, sent David to kill the giant, Goliath. A giant that no adult could kill, by the way. I just thought I should mention it. No, this is scripture. I'm not saying anything. You see, God has given every young person here potential. It's not about your age. It's about what God has put in you. Okay? And he expects us to use this gift and talents and potential again in his church, like we saw this morning, all in the name of Jesus. And if you want further proof, let's look at Acts 2 verse 17. This is what God says. It's his word. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams because they're always sleeping. It's revenge. Not that. But point is, the real point here is that God speaks to young people. He says, young people, you will prophesy. You will see visions. You will dream dreams. So there's no excuse for any young person to say, well, I'm too young to be used by God, because clearly scripture contradicts that thought. And in fact, what I'll say is that your age does not determine if God will use you, your attitude does. It's your attitude that will stop you from being used by God, not your age, because you have potential. Now, all the young people are hyped up like, I got potential. I don't need anybody to tell me anything. So I ask the question to every young person here, does the fact that we have potential mean that we should just take all the old people and put them in a retirement home and quote-unquote handle things? Some of you are saying no because you know you're going back home. Now, some of us might have our differing opinions on that thought, but let me tell you what God thinks about that idea. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. What the scripture shows us, and Pastor Allen touched on this last week as well, is that God clearly wants young people to learn from the older generation. Simply because you have potential does not mean you know everything. You still have to learn from the older generation. And so, young men, it's time for you to find mentors, male mentors in the church. And young women, it's time for you to intentionally find mentors, female mentors in the church. Not because it's my opinion or advice, it's what God wants. It's how God wants things to function, for the young to learn from the old. And some of the young people might be still be thinking, well, do I really need to learn? Why do I need to learn? And I'll tell you why. But we're going to go on a journey because it starts with the story of Joseph in Genesis 37, 5 to 11. See, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then the next day, he continues. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers again. He said, "Listen, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, my first observation when reading the scripture is the fact that Joseph clearly did not come from an African home, because we know that you cannot commit the same sin in less than 24 hours. Okay, you need to give it time, 2 weeks at least. I mean, I must say, you know, African parents know the true meaning of YOLO. You only look once. There's no second look. In fact, if the parent looks and you still continue, there's just the famous phrase we all know: "We're going home together." The point of why I was bringing that scripture to you is to show you that, you know, Joseph got those dreams because they came from God. And in fact, they did happen. They did happen. But what was the problem? You see, God showed Joseph his potential at a young age, but because he was still too immature to handle what God had shown him, he got sold into slavery. Because he was bragging about it. He was too immature. And so, young people, we need to learn, because we have areas in our lives where we are still too immature. And we have to learn to admit that. You might have the potential, the gifting, the talent, but you still need to learn. Because there are areas where we are still immature. Now, is immaturity a bad thing? Sometimes we don't admit it because we think it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, God showed Joseph his potential knowing he was immature. God was not oblivious to the fact. So, being immature is not a sin, but staying immature is a sin. So the fact that you are immature now, it's not a sin. But if you choose to not learn from the older generation and mature and grow in character, then there is a big problem. But now the question might arise, how do we mature? And I want to continue with Joseph. In Genesis 39, verse 4, this is what it says. "So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight, and he served him." Pay attention to "served him." right? And his master made him supervisor over his house and put all that he had in his charge. Then we go a bit forward, and in Genesis 40, verses 2 to 4, we see how Pharaoh was angry with his officers, the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. Auntie Bonya, you weren't there. He wouldn't have been pissed with you. He put them in his custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard put them in Joseph's charge, and he served them. And they continued in the custody for some time. Now, the key word I want everybody to focus on is serving. We mature by serving. Joseph got sold into slavery, went to jail, and he served. In Potiphar's house, he served. So young people, what should we be doing if we want to mature? We need to be serving. Where? In the church. Serving in God's house. Because you see, it's when you serve that you move from theory to practical. I mean, would you let a doctor operate on you if all he did was study and not practice? So the key word here is to serve. And where can you serve? You can serve on the worship team, ushers team, youth ministry. There are a lot of ministries in the church where we can serve so that we can mature and understand how to use the gifts and talents God has placed in us. You see, God expects the young people to learn from the older generation by serving so that we can be effective leaders for the future. And guess what? God never skips this process because he understands that your talents will take you where your character cannot hold you. If you do not mature, your talents will take you where your character cannot hold you. So we understand the second expectation. Let's go to the third. God expects you and I to understand, young people, that the standard does not change because we are young. You see, it has become a cultural norm to teach young people that they can do anything they want while they are young and it won't have any consequences until they are older. Now, that might be the case from a human perspective, but again, it's very different from God's perspective. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, this is what it says. Be happy, young men, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. And he wasn't talking about girls here. So please look at me, don't look there. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So in other words, do what you want. You're young, right? Go for it. YOLO. But know that God will bring you to judgment for everything you do. The standard does not change simply because we are younger. The standard is the same. You see, Scripture is clear about the fact that God will judge us and hold us accountable. It doesn't say he will only judge us when we are 50 years old. It says he will hold every young person accountable. So the question now must be, how should we as young people behave? What character should we have? What character traits should we aim for? Paul in 2 Timothy instructed young Timothy, he was young as well, on what type of character a young Christian should exhibit or show. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 22, is what it says. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. You see, young people, God expects us to flee the evil desires of youth. like lust, like idolizing materialism, being reckless, being irresponsible, not caring. And instead, he wants us to be what type of people? Loving people. Agape love, just to clarify. Brotherly, sisterly. Faithful people, peaceful people, honest, responsible, and reliable. And most importantly, in right relationship with God. Doesn't mean you don't sin. It means you're accountable to God. You're in right relationship. Now, everything I've just mentioned is quite boring to the world today. The world will tell you, dude, you're boring for believing such things. And in fact, one of the most common rejections young people have of being in relationship with God or being in church is the fact that they say the statement, God is boring. He doesn't want me to have fun. That's the common statement. Now, there's a problem with this argument, and there's two lies in this argument. Number one, firstly, we have to dissect what you mean by God doesn't want you to have fun. The word fun, in often cases, can be translated to sin. God doesn't want me to sin, therefore, he's boring. That's the first lie. Number two is the fact that who said God doesn't want you to have fun? Where in the Bible does it say God doesn't want you to have fun? I'll give you R1 million right now. See people on their apps. Is Genesis at the end? God doesn't want you to have fun. I want to tell you guys a quick story. You know, this was back in my days when I was younger. Back in my days in the 80s. In the 80s. I was at a New Year's party with some friends. We're partying the clean way. And we were there. And so we were at one location, relaxing, having some fun, playing video games. I was a teenager at that stage. And afterward, one of my friends said, hey, no, let's go elsewhere. Unplanned location. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go have some more fun. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm relaxed. I'm young. You know, God said, do what your heart says you should do. My heart said I should go. So I went. And so we went to this next location and we're relaxing, all that. And I was with a friend, and all of a sudden, it was just guys, by the way, just guys. But all of a sudden, one of my friends went to go make a call. 5 minutes later, he comes back. About 10 minutes later, a bunch of ladies appear. Right? So a bunch of ladies appear. One of my friend leaves me. I'm having a drink. I'm relaxing. This one lady approaches me, taller than me. I mean, I was intimidated. She was taller than me. It's not normal that ladies are taller than me, but she was taller than me. And she came to me and she said, hey, are you Ron the producer? And I was like, yeah, I can produce any day. I'm Ron the producer. So, so she sits down. And we produced a conversation. We start speaking, and it was a bit weird because she was flirting with me very aggressively, and I did not understand why. She was leading the dance, and then I looked on one side, and I saw one of my friends was looking at me in a bad way. I didn't understand why. Anyway, as the conversation continued, she said, hey, so how much are you willing to pay to do something? Pay to do something? And then it clicked. One of the guys at the party called prostitutes to come. Now, of course, everyone's uncomfortable. What? Prostitute? So I had a choice to make in that moment. What do I do? Do I move away like some of my friends did? Or do I continue sitting there? And so when I realized this, I answered and said, no, I won't pay for anything. I'm not interested in anything. And what happened, actually, is that we started talking about Jesus in that situation. And she actually started to tell me how she was in a worship team, how she was in church, and how she didn't even want to be doing what she's doing. And we didn't do anything. Now, to some of my friends or some of the people there, I looked boring because you didn't go with the flow. But to God, I was a real G. Because I was speaking to this lady with dignity and shared about Jesus with her, and she opened up to me. And only God knows what he did in our heart. Don't go with the flow. Stand your ground. You can be fun and still be a child of God. Amen? Amen. So now we've looked at the three expectations God has for us. He expects us to know our identity and value. What was number two? I forgot. No, honestly. Purpose. She's listening. God wants us to know our purpose. And thirdly, God wants us to understand that the standard does not change. You're a child of God. Be a child of God. So those are the expectations. Now from those expectations, let's extrapolate and see what our roles are as young people. Firstly, our role is to become part of the church, not just attend it. There are a lot of people here that have been visitors for years. There are a lot of people here that have been visitors for years. God wants you to become part of the church, not just attend it. This means being a participator, not just a spectator. Now, some of you, as I said, have been visitors for years, but some of you are actually new. And one of the first steps I would recommend is maybe you should sign up for our membership course, class, so that you can find out about our vision, our mission, and our values. You know, it's important to know what the family is about before you get into the family. Right? Take the step, because that's what God wants. It's not what the pastors want. It's what God expects. He expects you to be a participator, not just a spectator. What is the second role? Our role as young people is to use our gifts and talents for church growth. Again, it goes deeper into participating. But now let me go a bit into more detail. God wants us to participate in the ministries that run the church, that let the church grow. And for example, you can join the worship ministry. You can join the prayer team, the ushering and greeting team. We had young people doing some ushering today. Video and social media. Joining the youth or young adults ministries. You have talents that God has given you. Why are you not using them to build his church, his family? What are you waiting for? God expects us to use our gifting for the growth of this church and family. And because, as I mentioned, we have the Holy Spirit, God also expects us to do ministry, to pray for people, to prophesy, to spread the gospel. Your age does not determine, your attitude does. What's the third role? To develop our character. Our roles and duties as young people is to make sure we are intentional in developing our character, in growing, in learning, and in maturing. This means go alongside an older person and serve. And while you're serving, you will learn from the service and from the input of the older person. That's how it works. It's always worked that way. It'll always work that way. And God expects us young people to be intentional about it. Again, I say, young men, find male mentors. Women, do the same. And how should we be serving? In Proverbs 20, verse 29, it's not up there, it's here. I just want to mention it. It says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. You see, the old people have the wisdom, but we have the energy. We have the passion. We have the zeal, and we have to use it. And to all those young people that don't serve because they move around constantly looking for the next best thing, because they believe the grass is greener on the other side. To you, I simply have to say this. The grass is greener on the other side because you're not watering yours. You see, the time you're spending looking at your neighbor's grass, fix yours, man. The grass is only greener on the other side because you're not watering yours. We are to serve with passion, with joy, with willingness. That's what God wants. We have the energy. The old have the wisdom. And lastly, our role, again, is to learn from the older generation. I mentioned it earlier just now. Find a mentor. It's very important. Don't go doing things alone because you will make mistakes that you could have avoided if only you had an older mentor. And God expects this from us, young people. It's an expectation. It's not a suggestion. It's our duty. It's our role. And so it is through this process of belonging, participating, becoming, that we as young people will fulfill our roles in this church family called Centurion Vineyard. Amen. I have a last question. Are you ready to fulfill these roles? Are you ready to do your part, to do your duty, to do what God expects of you, not what people must be asking you to do? Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to move from being a spectator to a participator? Worship team, you can come up. Are you ready to stop being a visitor for years and become a member? Are you ready to be a true child of God? And while you think about what I've just said, I want to remind everybody, every young person in this place today, that remember what I said at the beginning. Being immature is not a sin. Remaining immature is a sin. So in other words, what I'm saying is, it's okay if before today you did not know this. But it will be a problem if after today, after hearing this, you choose to remain the same. Could I have everybody that's younger than just under 50 under, stand up, please. No music. I'll tell you when. Yeah, now we see you, eh? Take a photo. Yeah, stand up. Now, people over 50, Will you please just lay your hands on these young people? Suddenly. Just lay your hands on them. We're going to pray for our young people and our old people. Now, I'm going to pray. You guys can also pray, but I'm going to pray from here. Father, we thank you that you have brought the young and the old together. We thank you that your intentions for us is to live together, work together, learn from each other, so that we can fulfill the roles and goals you have for us in our church and in our communities. Father, we thank you for the wisdom you have given to the old. Thank you that you have provided that to us, that gift that sometimes we do not understand. Father, I also pray and thank you for the gifts and talents and energy and fresh ideas that you have given to the young people in this church. And I thank you that you're going to use these gifts and talents from today forward, moving forward, so that we may grow and build your church to what it's supposed to be. Father, I thank you for the unity we will have and not the division. Saying the old people don't know anything and the old people saying these kids never want to learn. We break that in the name of Jesus. We will be united and work together for your purposes, Father, so that ultimately we may bring glory to your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, don't sit down. Don't sit down.